I believe all service we've already been hearing from the Lord. And if you're here and you just sense in your heart this is a moment God brought you here to change your life, just believe that's going to happen before you leave here. Whatever's sung, whatever's preached, whatever's done, God's made a divine moment in your behalf. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? We'll read one verse now. We'll look at other verses as we go through the message this morning. This is in first person plural, so why don't we just read this in unison? Could we do that? Let us be glad and rejoice. Everyone together, let's start again. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Amen. I want to preach this morning on let us be glad and rejoice. It's wedding time. Amen. Let us be glad and rejoice. Praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Several years ago, we were at Disney World. I don't know if you've been there, but that's supposed to be the number one or one of the number one places on the planet to have fun. But as we were walking out in the sun and blisters developing on the feet, I didn't feel too much fun. And I looked around and I thought, it don't look like folks are having fun. I mean, you saw husbands and wife get into it and kids crying and everyone. I mean, the place you're supposed to be having fun, it didn't look like anyone was having fun. Has anyone ever made that observation at an amusement park or something like that? The place of fun, they're not having fun. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is church, and people are supposed to be happy. She hadn't said it here, but we visited churches. My wife said, I didn't see one person smile. Everybody looked sad and depressed. We aren't just at church. We are the church. Amen. What would you think about a bride that was unhappy as her wedding day approached? Would you think something wrong? Yes, you know what? She just didn't munch into the groom. And if the church, I said, if the church isn't too happy about the approaching wedding with Christ, maybe the church isn't too much into the groom. Hallelujah. Anyone here? Did everybody go home? Amen. If you're truly born again, you're a part of the church. And if you're a part of the church, you're a part of the bride. And I want to tell you this morning, the bride, that's you and me, that be us, the bride has much to rejoice over. Amen. In the book of Revelation, the bride was maligned. The bride was persecuted. The bride was ridiculed. The bride was hounded, and yet the bride, we see her rejoicing in the book of Revelation. I got to thinking about that, and if these New Testament Christians we read about in Revelation, if they had gone by the material things they possessed, if they had gone by the lack of suffering, they would have no cause or found no cause to rejoice. But they didn't go by the material. They didn't go by whether they were suffering or not. They looked beyond. I said they looked beyond. They looked above. They looked ahead and saw that they had every reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. Can you look above this morning? Can you look beyond? Can you look ahead and discover that whatever your situation is this morning, you have a reason, you have a right, you have an occasion to rejoice. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. If there's anything that marks so many Christians today, listen to this. This isn't research, but I think it's true. If there's anything that marks many Christians today, it's that they're as unhappy and miserable serving God as unbelievers are serving Satan. Something wrong. Something wrong, Brother Rose. Oh, I keep hearing that song. Does a youth choir sing it or something? I got a reason. What is it? I got a reason to pout? Is that what you said? What did you say? I got a reason to shout, sing, and rejoice. Listen, from this study of Revelation, I want to make another statement. You just judge whether it's true or not. But I believe there's a correlation between the increase of worldliness in the church and the decrease of rejoicing in the church. I mean, some of us have lived in a time when the church didn't have nothing. The people of the church, they didn't have much money. They didn't have nice automobiles, nice homes. But when they got to church, they'd been living right and pure and clean. And when they got to church, it was filled with rejoicing. And I do believe it's a correct statement. With the increase of worldliness in the church, there has been a decrease in rejoicing. But I also believe there's a group of people getting ready to leave. They're purifying themselves. The believer that knows what serving God is truly about, the believer that has his eye on the coming of the Lord, and the believer that has an assurance of what's coming will be a believer that has found something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. True rejoicing is inseparable from worship of God, and worship of God is inseparable from rejoicing. And so let me say it again from our text. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto Him. I want you to help me this morning. This passage has four words in it. It's not found anywhere else in the New Testament, but they're there all through this chapter. And it's the word, you'll see it in the King James there as hallelujah. That's hallelujah. It's translated in the Old Testament, let God be praised. And I want you to be listening and waiting. And whenever we get to that word, hallelujah, hallelujah, in Scripture, I want you as the congregation just to holler it out, just like they're doing in the book of Revelation. Just shout it out, hallelujah. Amen. So let's practice. I don't have the word there, but hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that sounded good. I said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, we got a reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. They're already singing it in heaven. Amen. Number one, let us be glad and rejoice because God will judge this world. Verse 1, get ready. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah. I only heard this section. Let's try that again. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. I mean, there was a multitude worshiping the Lord in heaven. I want you to know something this morning. Heaven is going to be marked by people worshiping God. Amen. I just want to tell you the way it is. If you're not into worship, I'm not sure you should go to heaven. Heaven is about worshiping God. If you're not comfortable worshiping God here, you may not want to go to heaven. You'll be uncomfortable when you get there. Heaven is punctuated, marked by worship. Worship is the chief occupation of heaven. Let me tell you something about worship and we'll move on. You can't be worshiped. You can't worship and be self-centered at the same time. Can't do it. You cannot worship and be worldly minded at the same time. You can't worship and be obsessed either through bitterness or something else with somebody else at the same time. You can't do it. But in heaven, around the throne, focused on the Lamb, there is worship. But the thing I want you to note here, it said it was a great voice of much people. There's going to be much people in heaven. Hallelujah. I said there's going to be much people in heaven. You say, Pastor, haven't you read the book? There's going to be a great falling away. Yes, there is. Don't you know that a lot of people are backsliding? Yes, that is correct. Don't you know that a lot of folks are giving up, giving in, and giving out? Yes, that's true. Pastor, don't you know there's a lot of folks deceived into thinking they can be the people of God and the people of the world at the same time? Yes, that's true. But I read right here, it's going to be much people. Not everybody's going to backslide. Not everybody's going to compromise. Not everybody's going to throw in the towel. Not everybody's going to be deceived. Not everybody's giving in and out and up. I'm telling you, there's going to be a much people. Number, how many has an intent in your heart? Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. Hallelujah. It was much people. Amen. There are those little groups that think it will be just we four and no more. Amen. That make it to heaven. They have come to believe that the criteria for entering heaven is the same criteria for their little group of four more and no more. But I want you to know it's going to be a great multitude. Even those that make it to heaven, they've made it because of one reason: the blood of the Lamb. They've been washed. They've been cleansed. They've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Their group belonging to their little group didn't get them there. The blood of Jesus got them there. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying that a bunch of carnal, worldly people are going to make it to heaven simply because they trusted in the blood of Jesus? I'm not saying that, because I believe if you've really trusted in the blood of Jesus, you'll be so grateful. You'll be so thankful. You'll want to live a life of devotion and love and worship to Him. Amen. Not only for now, but for all eternity. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to be in that number? Hallelujah. I read the way they worshiped, and I want you to know, worldly Christians do not worship like this. You say, what are you talking about? Again, you can make your own observations. But the worldly church, their worship is horizontal. The music, the attention is being affected on a horizontal level. People affecting people, and therefore the worship is horizontal. But you look in heaven and the worship is vertical. The attention isn't on man's talent. The attention is upward to the Lamb. And since that's where the attention is, that's where the worship is directed. Oh, I don't know how about you. I want my worship to be vertical. I said, I want my worship to be vertical. Amen. Verse 2, let us be glad and rejoice because He judges this world. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and He hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. Their worship was inspired by God's judgment of the wicked world that we've seen over and over. The wicked world personified by this harlot, this prostitute, this whore Babylon, the cities of our world. They are rejoicing because God has judged this world. And I want you to know, you can tell from this verse, God has a right to judge. He who is holy has a right to judge. God is not unfair. God is not cruel. God is not barbaric. God is not evil. God is true. God is righteous. God is faithful even when He's judging. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this whore is judged, the scripture says, because she corrupted the earth with her fornication. That's not just an allusion to physical sexual sin, though it involves that. But the fornication of the whore is influencing people to turn from their God, influencing people to turn from Jesus, influencing people to turn from their Creator and their Redeemer and sell themselves out to the pleasures of this world. You know, it's happening every day. The whore is wielding her charms and she's seducing people to fornication with this world. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming after a fornicating bride. He's coming after a bride that has kept herself pure and said no to this world. Amen. God is right to judge. Amen. Not only has she committed fornication, but she has persecuted and tormented and killed God's people. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go back there, but I'm going to tell you about it. We read in chapter 18, when God judges this whore, this harlot, we read where the business people, the world's people, the consumers, they weep and grieve and cry because God has judged the harlot Babylon. But now we're reading in chapter 19, Same judgment of the harlot. But God's people aren't grieving and weeping and bemoaning. God's people are rejoicing. You know what that tells me? As in all of Scripture, people can be divided into two categories. And on this occasion, there are those that weep and grieve over the judgment of the whore Babylon. And there are those that rejoice over the judgment of the whore Babylon. And I want to talk about that in just a moment, because it's this simple. Heaven rejoices over the destruction of this worldly system, but this world will grieve over that destruction. Amen. When she sees the pleasure and the power and the money and arrogance of this world destroyed, she grieves. But God's people in heaven rejoice, not rejoicing over the deaths of people, but rejoicing that there's been an end of evil. Wouldn't that be something to not just be glad and rejoice? Evil has been put down. Justice has been done. Victory has been won over sin. God will bring every wrongdoer to justice, and God will right every wrong. That's why God's people rejoice over the judgment of this harlot. But let's go back to that. We have two groups in Revelation: those that grieve over her judgment, the harlots, and those that rejoice. I believe it's this simple. The world weeps over the judgments of God and the demise of the whore, and the church rejoices. So let's bring it all down to this point and think about it. Whether I am of the world or of the church is determined by what I weep or rejoice over. Did you hear that? Whether I'm a part of the group of the world or a part of the church is determined by what I weep or I rejoice over. Amen. It is simply that easy. There's only those two groups of people. Amen. Which group are you in? Do you weep over sin and rejoice over godliness? Amen. Is it that way with you? Do you grieve over sinful pleasures, weep over them, or do you rejoice over sinful pleasures? I mean, the filth that piles up on TV, even the sitcoms with all the sin and the wickedness. Do you sit and laugh and rejoice at that, or do you become grieved if you sit and begin to weep at the corruption and at the destruction of our nation and of people everywhere? Even they make a joke of sin. They laugh about fornication. They laugh about homosexuality. They make it a big joke, and they rejoice. They rejoice when marriage is redefined. They rejoice when another foundation of truth is removed. They rejoice because they are of the world. But if you're of the church, you're not rejoicing. You're weeping. You're grieving. Hallelujah. By the same token, when judgment comes, they then will weep, and the church will rejoice. Not over the death and destruction of people, but on the victory of righteousness. Verse 3. And again they shall say. Oh, let's back up. And again they shall say. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. A lot to be said. I'll leave it for later, except to say, just like the joys of God's people will be eternal, the judgments upon evil will be eternal. The smoke of her destruction riseth up forever and ever. It's final. I said it's final. How many knows that though things have ebbed and flowed in human history, gotten worse, gotten better, there's come a time when there'll be no ebb and flowing. It'll be final. It'll be over. Where do you want to be when it's over? I want to be in the presence of God. Secondly, let us be glad and rejoice, because God is in complete control. Verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen. Oh, that sounds great. That's what you'd be hearing in heaven. Hallelujah. We've seen these 24 elders before. They represent all of God's people. We've seen the beasts before, these special created angels of God, one with the face of an ox, one with the face of a lion, one with the face of an eagle, one of the face of a man. These four beasts, these four specially created angels are leaders in worship. Now we have both angels, God's people, the angels, and God's people, the redeemed, even they fall down and they begin to worship him that sat, and the emphasis is he that sits upon the throne. I've told you before, you can go back and you can see it for yourself, but wherever in scripture these 24 elders and these four specially created angels, whenever they're mentioned in Revelation, as soon as they hear God ascribed his greatness, God ascribed his holiness, God ascribed, as soon as they hear that, they begin to fall down. The elders cast their crowns before his feet and they begin to worship God. Oh, hallelujah. Church ought to be like that. Whenever somebody said he's awesome, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, it ought to be that way. It's that way in heaven, in rejoicing in response to the greatness of God. In fact, it might go like this. I'm going to say God is good, and you immediately say all the time, hallelujah. We'll get a little soul this morning. God is good. I said God is good. Now I'm going to change it, and I'm going to say God is holy, and you holler out hallelujah. That's what they did. God is holy. God is righteous. God is love. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is redeemer. God is deliverer. God is Savior. Oh, that's what these 24 elders, let us be glad and rejoice. He sits upon the throne. I do got to tell you, this is the last time in the book of Revelation we'll see the 24 elders and the four beasts. Last time we'll see them. The first time we saw them, they were worshiping God. Now this is the last time we'll see them, and they're still worshiping God. And right this morning when I preach about them, they're still worshiping God. And when we walk through the gates into heaven, we'll see him. They're still worshiping God. Oh, I said hallelujah. Can anybody worship past 12? Let's see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 5. Let us be glad and rejoice. God's in control. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye saints, and ye that fear him, both small and great. The command is given. Praise our God. This is not cheerleading. This is just saying, this is a wonderful opportunity and occasion to praise him. Many years ago, someone took offense because as pastor, I would ask people to praise the Lord. So that's just cheerleading. You just, well, there is cheerleading that goes on in church, but I don't see it as cheerleading. I just see it as this. You guys have been so kind to sit here quiet and everything and pay attention, and you've been raring to praise God. So go ahead. I'm just saying this is a good occasion for it. Oh, sometimes we get things backwards. One of the first things I remember Brother Holmes sharing about when he first began to go to Nigeria, he said, you know what? Those people get to praying, and they'll pray all night if we let them. And so we have a bell, and we have to ring the bell to get them to stop praying so we can do something else. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Hallelujah. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a bell, and just so we could make announcements or whatever. We'd have to ring the bell every once in a while, just get people to quit praising God long enough so we could do something else. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. It's not cheerleading. It's just saying, here's a good spot to worship God. Go ahead, let it out. Amen. Amen. Verse 6, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, for the Lord, here it is, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. God is in control. I mean, we've seen the beast. We've seen the whore. We've seen the persecution. We've seen the darkness. But through it all, God still sits on the throne. He still holds the reign. He still is in control. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent, all powerful, he reigns. reigns. You may just feel like things are coming apart in your life. You may just think one crisis after another is happening. It may be spinning out of control from your perception. But if you're a believer, if you're a child of God, you can know that God is on his throne. He's got a plan. He's in control. He's sovereign. He providentially will make things the way they ought to be. When people really see God for who he is, they will rejoice that he is sovereign. That is the theme of the whole Revelation. We miss, we get caught up in what the this and that about the Antichrist. But the theme of Revelation is God is in control and God will vindicate his people. You know, I must move on, and I will in a moment to a close, but one of the big things that people that have an axe to grind with God, whether they knew him or didn't, is they like to bring up the problem of evil. You'll hear it all the time on television, I promise you. Well, if there's a God and he's good, why are babies born with these congenital problems? Why did a tornado kill somebody's wife? Why is there this disease? They like to bring up the problem of evil. And very simply put, it goes this way. God's supposed to be all good, and God's also supposed to be all powerful. But he can't be both with all these things, bad things happening. Because if he could be all good, in other words, he wants to do something about the bad things, but he's not all powerful, so he can't. Or worse, he's all powerful. He could do something about all these bad things, but he's not all good. He doesn't want to. And you'll hear, if you'll listen to it, maybe you haven't heard, I'm sure you have. If you'll listen, you'll hear this over and over. It's a drum they beat to try to defame God, the problem. But I want to tell you, if you're a true worshiper of God, if you have your eyes on the Lamb, you don't have a problem with evil. And I'll tell you why. Because in spite of seeing the bad and the evil things happen, you understand that God is in control. God's already done something. It's called the cross. God is doing something. And God has a sovereign plan to bring good and to bring victory and to bring vindication. I want to tell you one more. True worshipers of God have no problem with God and the problem of evil. Let us be glad and rejoice because it's just about wedding time. You say, I thought we wouldn't get here this morning. We're here. It's just about wedding time. Look at our text, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Jesus is the Lamb. His wife, his bride, is the church. Now you got to understand, John is being shown ahead. The final battle of Armageddon has not yet been fought. But even though that war is looming, it can be clearly seen that God is going to be the victor. Good is going to triumph. Darkness cannot hold the light back. And God's people, though persecuted and maligned, they will rise victorious, more than conquerors, through Christ who loved them. That is what is seen ahead. Amen. I thought of an illustration from the scripture. Amen. About all these persecuted believers in Revelation. I think we need to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it loud enough to wake your neighbor up. Go ahead. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Here's Paul. Amen. These Christians have been tormented and persecuted and killed. It looks like defeat. But how many remembers that time Paul was preaching and they didn't like it? So they grabbed hold of him and they pulled. I'll get someone to lie down for me. Hallelujah. Will you lie down for me? They took him. They pulled him outside the city and they began to stone him. And finally he collapses and the stones are piled up and they grinned. We've stopped the voice of the gospel. We've stopped this Christ bearer. We have been victorious. That's the way it is in the book of Revelation. They persecuted that church. They've maligned it. They've killed those Christians. Oh, but how many knows the story? Oh, God began to move on that body of Paul. He began to stir and shake. The stones start to fall off. He rises up. And you know what he does? He goes right back into the city and starts preaching Jesus the deliverer again. That's the way it is in Revelation. They beat the Christians down. They persecuted them. Done everything. Oh, hallelujah. But let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the wife has arisen victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And here's the wonderful thing. Isn't it something that we, the people of God, have such an intimate relationship with Him that throughout Scripture, our relationship with God is He as a husband and we as His wife. Aren't you glad we can enjoy that kind of intimate relationship with God? Amen. A wedding in Bible times consisted of two major events, the betrothal and the wedding ceremony. The betrothal, much like our engagement, was more binding in those days. In fact, it took the equivalent of a divorce to get out of the betrothal. But I preach all day, I'll preach in two sentences on that. The point is, the betrothal was the period that the bride proved herself pure and devoted to her groom. I said the betrothal was the period where the bride proved herself pure and devoted to the groom. After the betrothal period, there was the wedding ceremony. Amen. I want to tell you, we are in the betrothal period as the church. Hear me. Paul said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy because I have betrothed you as a chaste virgin to Christ. We are in the betrothal period. When you got saved, how many got saved? That's a relief. Amen. When you got saved, when you were born, you entered a betrothal period. Jesus said, you're going to be my bride. You're going to be my wife. What was the purpose of the betrothal period? So she could prove herself pure and devoted to her husband. You know what we're supposed to be doing till the bridegroom comes? You know what we're supposed to be doing as the bride? Proving ourselves pure and devoted to the groom. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Can we not see a correlation of how little the marriage vows mean even to Christians today? The correlation between that and how little devotion and fidelity Christians show to Jesus. But I want you to know it's going to happen. There is going to be a union of the church and Jesus, the bride and the groom. There will be a wedding. After the betrothal, there came a day the groom left his father's house to get his bride from her house. He led her away, and there was a great celebratory banquet to celebrate the marriage. And then his bride forever was with the groom in the father's house. We may be in the betrothal period, but I want you to know it's coming. The son's going to leave the father's house. He's coming after his bride. We're headed for that celebratory. Oh, hallelujah. Soon the lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. Oh, hallelujah. We sang it today. It's going to happen. I said it's going to happen. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number. I want you to notice in verse 7, she hath made herself ready. I want you to know, somebody will say, how can you make yourself ready? We believe in salvation by grace. You can't do enough good works. You can't earn a place in the bride. Amen, that's true. You can't do enough good works. You can't earn a place. But you can say yes to the Holy Spirit when He deals with you. You can let grace come in. You can come to the fountain of His blood. You can cooperate with truth at work in your life. You can keep yourself, as Jude said, in the love of God. You can abide in the vine. You can make yourself ready. I just want to ask you, if we're the bride, are we making ourselves ready? I want to be ready. Come on. Come on. We got to finish this morning. I said He's coming after a bride that hath made herself ready. You put forth the effort not to earn your salvation, but to prove your purity. Amen, that you are a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, and her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I need 30 minutes. I'll take 30 seconds on that. But today, couples live together before marriage. They fornicate. They have children before marriage. God has mercy for that. But God's plan has always been about a bride who keeps herself pure until the wedding day. How many believes that scripture? Gilbert wants to redefine some things. And I want you to know what we see here is a bride clothed in fine linen, clean and white. There is a contrast in Revelation between the harlot, which is this world, and the bride, who are the people of God. The harlot is dressed in colors and jewelry of a harlot. But the bride who is pure is dressed in garments that are clean and white. Amen. There's a modesty. There's an immodesty. There's a worldliness. There's a godliness. There's a purity. And there's an impurity. And we see it in the contrast of these two women in Revelation. Amen. It's a marked contrast. The harlot of this world marked by her brazenness, her colors, her jewelry. And the bride who is the church marked by the simplicity of fine linen garments, pure and white. Oh, hallelujah. Don't just take it to the church. Bring it down to the individual. What is your soul clothed in this morning? Worldliness or the purity of Christ? Amen. If you've known the purity of Christ, let me see your hands and say, I want to be a part of the bride that has kept myself pure and clean and prepared and ready for his coming. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You say, Pastor, only his blood can wash our garments. That is right. That is correct. Only his blood can wash away our sin. But we can stay away from that which would soil our garments. We can keep ourselves from that which would dirty our garments. Thank God for his blood that washes. Amen. There's going to be a day that the bride will say, he's already promised to marry me, and I am going to be ready when he comes. What would you think of a bride that said, well, my groom-to-be has promised that he'll marry me, so I'll go ahead and live any way I want to live and be with other men and commit fornication? What would you think of that bride? I'm telling you, if you're the bride of Christ, you won't be that kind of people of God. You won't say, well, he's promised to marry me, I'll get back to my life in the world. No, sir, you'll say, he promised to marry me, and when he comes, whenever that is, he'll find me completely, totally dedicated, devoted to him, living in purity and righteousness. That's how he'll find me. I want to skip to this last note and just make a note of it. But let us be glad and rejoice, because we know Jesus. And knowing Jesus, we know what's ahead. Look at verse 10. John made a mistake. He said, I fell out at the feet of this announcer to worship him, and he said unto me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. He's an angel, but he does the will of God. We do the will of God, fellow servants. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus and worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. I'll just say this and we'll close. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ, and having that, we have the spirit of prophecy. In other words, since we know Jesus, we know what's... How many would like to be facing what we're facing in our world and not know what's ahead that we know? Can we not be glad and rejoice that knowing Jesus, we know what's ahead? We have any of the bride here this morning? Let me see. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come, music? Would you come? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. I had read about this, and I didn't take the time to download it for you to view. You can view it yourself. But in October of 2010, it was a planned event, but 650 choir members went to the Macy's Centers, that's part of a mall in Philadelphia. And they went there and mixed amongst the shoppers in Macy's. And there in the Macy's, there's several tiers, like floors, but they're like balconies that come out on the major floor. And these 650 choir members, just dressed like normally in street clothes, they went in, they mixed with the shoppers in Macy's. And in that mall is the world's largest pipe organ. And at 12 o'clock, the musician on the pipe organ changed and began to play Handel's Hallelujah. And those 650 choir members mixed in amongst the shoppers immediately began to sing Hallelujah. And they would pan to the faces of folks that just regular shoppers that weren't a part of it. There was surprise. There was wonder. There were people clapping their hands. I even saw some worshiping. And oh, that song, you know, it's kind of lengthy. It was growing hallelujah. And I got to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, you could feel it even over the YouTube presentation of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just to see on people's faces. You could tell the impact on them. Oh, it's a tremendous thing. You can look. I said Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and opera and hallelujah. You can find it. It was a powerful thing. King of Kings. And I, as I watched that, I mean, I saw how moved those people were, and it moved me just watching that. And here we have 650 choir members. I don't even know if they're the people of God or not. They're part of an opera and this and that choir. And we have these people of the world, amen, shopping consumers and all of this. And even in that setting, when we got to hallelujah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you could feel it. I mean, it was an impact on. And I thought, my, if that so moved me, if that so moved those people to hear him singing hallelujah, there in that mall, there in that Macy's, right there in the middle of the, if that so moved me and them, what's it going to be like when we get to heaven? Oh, the redeemed of every nation and every tongue, of every age, angel and human, and all God's creation lift up their voice and begin to sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And then when they get to the point there, and when they begin to sing looking at the Lamb, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, oh, what's it going to be like? Oh, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. Let's do it right now. We'll just stand. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Would you praise him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you're born again, you've got a reason to rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to give a quick altar call. Listen to me. I want us to do it different. You've got a situation that's too big for you. You need to know that God is in control. Here in a moment, I want you to come and I want you to stand this morning. And I don't want you to start begging God to do something. I want you just to lift your hands and begin to sing hallelujah, or say hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. God, you're in control. God, you are sovereign. Somebody else this morning, amen, you're here. We'll all be mixed together. No one will know who's coming for what, but you're here. And as the part of the bride of Christ, you know some spot, some spoiling, something has come to dirty your garments, and you say, I don't want that in my life. I want you to come in a moment and stand, and don't beg God for forgiveness. You can confess it if you need to, but I just want you to stand in his presence and begin to say hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let us be glad and rejoice. All right, I want you to begin to come. There's something in your life you need to know. God is sovereign. God's in control. I want you to come and stand and lift your hands and begin to say hallelujah. Or if you just want to make sure that your garments are purified by the blood of Jesus, that you're a part of the bride that's ready, would you come right now and stand and lift your hands and begin to worship God and just say hallelujah. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. Would you lift your hands and begin to worship him? Hallelujah. Let us be glad and rejoice. Oh, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. How many of the redeemed is going to join these that are coming? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. I tell you, he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Lamb that washes away ever sin. He is the Lamb that washes away ever stain. You are the bride of Christ. You are the people of God. You are the born again. You are his bride. He's coming after you, church. He's coming after you, church. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need Jesus this morning, you just come. Somebody will pray with you. You need Jesus in your life, would you come? Somebody will be here to pray with you. Hallelujah. That's it, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let the sound resound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God sits on the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pure. That's it, church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it, church. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In the face of your problem, hallelujah. In the face of your crisis, hallelujah. God is on the throne. Amen. Look at the world this morning and say, I will not be seduced. I will not be dirtied. I am the bride of Christ. He's coming after me. Hallelujah. That's it, praise Him. Oh, that's it, praise Him. Oh, that's it, praise Him. That's it, praise Him. That's it, praise Him.
I will praise You.
Hallelujah.
I will lift You.
Oh, come on, praise Him in spite of it all.
You are worthy.
Thou art worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Every time you say hallelujah, you're saying let the Lord be praised. I want you to say it right now and think about it. Hallelujah. Let the Lord be praised. In spite of my difficulty, in spite of what I face tomorrow, in spite of it all, hallelujah. I believe heaven's smiling right now. Oh, let us be glad and rejoice. Come on, church. I know there's difficulties. I know there's sick folks. I know there's surges being faced. I know there's crises of home. But let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready, and He sits upon the throne, unchallenged, victorious. The forgiven heart. Hallelujah. Say it with a grateful heart. Hallelujah. Say it with a heart of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You are worthy. Hallelujah. I will praise You.
Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigns.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are worthy.
Oh, hallelujah.
I will praise You. I will lift You up. You are worthy.
We weep over sin, but we rejoice over God's power, God's might, righteousness, holiness, and purity. We rejoice. Oh. Hallelujah. If you know you're part of the bride, one more time, will you just praise Him? Say, thank You that You included me in that number. I'm a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. My garments have been washed in His blood, the blood of the Lamb. And one of these days, He's coming after me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we magnify You, Lord. to heart of praise. Oh, I offer up to you. I offer up to you, Lord, this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. To hear the old preacher say when he got excited, he'd say, praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. Could we do that one more time? Could we praise God and the Lamb forever? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.